So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I like the complete Jewish Bible. It says in John 13:34, when it says that we're to love one another as I have loved you, the complete Jewish Bible says, in the same way that I have loved you. It gives a little different insight, isn't it? So what is the thing that I think all of us would agree on this or agree to this, that as we look at the scriptures and we look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we do what? We love the brethren. And so there's one mark or one significant thing that makes Christianity different than, you could say, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, but still people look at Christendom as a religion. So let's just say, for that sake, what makes Christianity different than any other religion out there? The love of God. That's the hallmark. That's the one characteristic of the Christian faith that makes us different than anyone. And why is that? When you look at that, we've passed from death unto life. No other Christian, no other religion can say that. We have the resurrection life in us. God living in us. His very nature in us. What is his nature? He is love. And so the love of God has taken up residence in us. That's what makes us different. And so there's no other religion that can attest to that. None of their gods have been raised from the dead. None of their gods died for the sins of all mankind. No other god so loved the world that they gave. They didn't. Amen. See, now that's the key. That just, you know, I remember Mark Hankins sharing this. He was sharing something on a message that he taught. He said that because he was traveling and he was going to a lot of various countries and going into different nations, he began to look at the religions of those nations, and he said they all have a lot of good things about them. All of them do. They want to help people, they want to do something good. He said, but what's the one key difference? The blood of Jesus. And we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And so, you know, he said that the Lord spoke to him and said, yeah, there's all good, some good qualities about all the religions. Let's exclude Satanism. Because some of them today will consider that a religion. And they do. But I'm just saying, the quality or the one significant thing about our relationship with God is that he lives in us. His very nature lives in us. And it gives us the ability to love. We have the ability in us. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So here, just some other scripture verses here. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God, and he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So that was one of the things that we talked about in the first lesson, that you cannot love in the same way that he loved if you're not born again. If you're not saved, you don't have his nature in you. So you cannot love like he loves unless he's in you. Because then you're just doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in your own ability. So we need his help. We need his ability, and he lives in us. So let's do this as we start this particular lesson. I'm just going to finish up on these last few characteristics of love tonight. But as we start, let's profess and speak of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 in the Amplified. And I'll read it and let's just follow along. Because you don't need, if you don't have the Amplified, I'm going to read it and we'll all say it. Love endures long. And is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglorious. Love does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant and inflated with pride. Love is not rude, unmannerly, or does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Love takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away, it will lose its value, and be superseded by truth. Now this is characteristic. I'm going to focus on just verse 7 tonight. So in the King James, that says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So we're going to look at those four characteristics tonight. So characteristic number 12 is beareth, charity, beareth all things. Now this word beareth means to, I'm just going to read what the Strong's Concordance had for this Greek word. It says a deck, thatch, you know, somebody has a thatch roof, to cover as a roof covers a house, to protect or keep by covering, to preserve. So this is what Rick Renner put in his book based on this Greek word. He said, built within the word stego, S-T-E-G-O, that's the Greek word, I just read those definitions. He said, is the concept of protection. Exactly as a roof protects, shields, and guards the inhabitants of a house from exposure to the outside influences of weather. So that means, what does it say? Love beareth or covers what? All things. Interesting. Sometimes we think bear means I'm bearing this thing. No. Bear, see, that's what I was saying. You've got to look at the Greek word. Bear here means to cover, to protect. So he continues. He said, the roof of a house is designed to shield people from storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, rain, hail, snow, wind, blistering hot temperatures, and so on. This protection is vital for survival in most climates, preventing people from either freezing to death or burning as a result of continual exposure to sunlight. First, we must understand that there are many different seasons to life. This is his understanding and perspective of this. And not all seasons are pleasurable. In fact, some seasons are very stormy and difficult. If we have no shield to guard us during these stormy times, it becomes much more difficult for us to survive spiritually. Very interesting perspective here. Paul lets us know that agape love serves like a protection for you. Like a roof of a house, a friend who moves in the agape love of God will stay near in times of trouble. That friend will hover over you to protect you from the storms of life, rather than expose you and your flaws to the views of others. A person who operates in this kind of love will conceal, cover, and protect you. For the real agape love is always there in times of trouble to lend support. Boy, that paints a whole different picture when we just read over, love bears all things. Doesn't it? I'll tell you, you sit down and you look at this and go, and this is the whole point. You start to look at yourself individually, not your neighbor, not your wife or your husband, and you begin to look at yourself and say, am I doing this? And sometimes what I'm finding is that some of the definitions, some of the words that are being used, God can use to reflect and say, you're not doing that. You aren't covering, you aren't protecting like the roof on a house. And each one, he'll speak to us all differently. So this was the words that were rendered and translated by Rick Renner. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. That's good. So this is characteristic 13. Believeth all things. So we're looking at this. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. This word believeth is pistuio. And it means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, place confidence in, have confidence. So let me read a little excerpt from Sparkling Gems here. The tense, this is what Rick Renner wrote here, the tense used in the Greek text lets us know that this is a constant, continuous entrusting of one's faith in something or someone, involving a never give up kind of belief that something will turn out the very best. The Greek phrase could actually be taken to mean that love believes the best in every situation. This is the agape love, believeth all things. Because agape is so filled with faith, it pushes the negative realities out of the way. This doesn't mean agape love ignores problems or challenges. It makes a choice to see beyond the problems and conflicts, to strain forward to see the highest potential that resides in every person. So applying this, he uses this example. He said, let's apply this to your children. Perhaps they're having a problem, perhaps they are having problems right now, or they have done some things in the past they shouldn't have done. There's still hope. Today is a new day, and agape love simply cannot give up believing that they will turn around. Although the past may have been filled with troubled times, the future is bright for those who believe God. Therefore, agape continually presses ahead, full of faith, reaching forward by faith to see the other person whole, sound, healed, saved, redeemed, and right in the middle of God's will for his or her life. You see, the agape love of God just doesn't know how to quit. It keeps believing the very best no matter what. Never forget that love believes the best. It believes the best of another person. So this is the way Rick Renner rendered this particular verse in verse 7. Believeth all things. He said, love strains forward with all its might to believe the very best in every situation. That's a very powerful statement. This is characteristic 14. Hopeth all things. So we have believe, beareth all things, operates like a roof, protects, covers, doesn't expose us, believeth all things, and now hopeth all things. This word hope, or hopeth, it means, as you would think, to hope. It means to hope, but also an expectation of good things. And this is what Rick Renner wrote in Sparkling Gems. He said, this means that rather than assuming failure or a bad result in someone's life, the agape love of God always expects the best in someone else. It not only expects it, but it is filled with anticipation to see the manifestation of the thing hoped for. So this is the way he rendered this particular portion of the scripture. Love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Now, characteristic 15 is charity endureth all things. So this word endureth is actually a compound of two different words. And we'll read that in a minute. But from the Strong's Concordance, it means to remain, abide, not recede or flee, to persevere, under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ, to endure, bear bravely and calmly ill treatments. So this is what Rick Renner wrote in his Sparkling Gems. He said, the word, because this Greek word is hupomeno, H-U-P-O-M-E-N-O. It's the compound of two words. H-U-P-O, or hupo, means under. M-E-N-O means to stay or to abide. So this is what he wrote. Compounded together, it depicts the attitude of a person who is under a heavy load but refuses to surrender to defeat because he knows he is in his place. an interesting perspective. He said, because this person knows he is where he's supposed to be, he has therefore decided that regardless of what tries to come against him, he is going to stay put and refuse to move. This means agape love never quits or throws in the towel. It simply doesn't know how to quit. Real agape love says, I'm committed to be here, to stay with you, and to work it out, regardless of the cost or the time involved. I am not quitting. I'm here to stay. That means endureth all things. And so, you know, a lot of times when, you know, when I read these, you think this right here, if you just read this, this is the answer to relationship issues right here. Relationship between a husband and a wife, the relationship between parents and their children, the relationship between friends, the relationship between business partners, you could go on. And this is the answer. And a lot of times we have men's fellowship meetings and we have women's fellowship meetings, and the men are ringing and saying, I want to know how to be a better husband. I want to know how to be a better father. Right here. Amen. This is the answer. This is the answer. If we just did this, we'd have better homes. We'd have better husbands and better fathers because they wouldn't quit. They'd stick with it and work it out. And the same goes on the same side. When the ladies get together, they want to be a better wife, a better mother, and they want all of that. But yet, a lot of times, based on individuals' personalities, their flesh gets the better of them, and they're not yielding to the love of God. So this is the answer right here. And we need to work it out and stick to it. This is, which is what I like about how he articulated this. He said, agape love says, I'm committed to be here. You need to know you are where you're supposed to be. Whether it's in a relationship, a marriage, you know this is God ordained. I'm committed to be here, to stay with you and to work it out. Regardless of the cost or the time involved, I am not quitting. I'm here to stay. So this is how he rendered endureth all things. Love never quits, never surrenders, and never gives up. It just doesn't do it. I'm going to read, just so that we can go back and just listen to this again. These are the verses from verse 4 forward through verse 7 and part of verse 8 of how Rick Renner rendered these verses. I'm going to read it one more time. Love, and this is actually starting from verse 4. Love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, constantly exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. Love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, or clannish manner. Love is not rude or discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless, nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. Love does not manipulate situations or scheme and devise methods that will twist situations to its own advantage. Love does not deliberately engage in actions or speak words that are so sharp they cause an ugly or violent response. Love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. Love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else, but is elated, thrilled, ecstatic, and overjoyed with the truth. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. Love strains forward with all its might to believe the very best in every situation. Love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Love never quits, never surrenders, and never gives up. Love never disappoints, never fails, and never lets anyone down. So you can see these are 15 characteristics, or we said, like light has a spectrum and has different characteristics that makes up light. There's different colors, different characteristics. These are the different attributes or characteristics of the love of God. And so we have spent, again, these last few lessons looking at that. And I trust that it has given some pause or some time to reflect. I know this particular book by Henry Drummond, he looks at it again a little differently. He has, as he calls it, 9 ingredients to the love of God. So he looks at these 15 characteristics, but he kind of pulls them all together. He said, love suffering suffereth long. He said that ingredient or spectrum is patience. And love is kind. He said kindness. Love envieth not is generosity. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. He called that humility. Does not behave itself unseemly. He calls that courtesy. Love seeketh not its own is unselfishness. Love is not provoked. He said that's good temper. And love taketh no account of evil. He called that guilelessness. And rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. He called that sincerity. So this just another person's look into the love of God, some other words used to describe the love of God. And so I think that as we look at this and we meditate upon it, God will reveal to each one of us where we need to make adjustments. Are we walking as best as we can in the love of God? Because it's already been shed abroad in you and me, but as we look into the Word of God, as that song that Pastor Clinton, he said, your reflection, he should be reflecting through us. And that means his nature, his love. And, you know, we've all come from various backgrounds. We've all had various things that we've walked through in life. But the love of God will change that and cause us to see things differently. And so I trust that you've gotten a little something out of that. But on the topic, and again, when we talk about, I know Brother Hagin says this, you know, somebody might say, I'm confused. He said, no, you were already confused. It was the Word of God that shined the light on that, on the confusion. So the Word of God will reveal the way we should operate.